Did Ares really know something about my mom? Or was he just playing with me? Now that he was gone, all the anger had drained out of me. I realized Ares must love to mess with people's emotions. That was his power, cranking up the passions so badly they clouded your ability to think. "It's probably some kind of trick," I said. "Forget Ares. Let's just go." "We can't," Annabeth said. "Look, I hate Ares as much as anybody, but you don't ignore the gods unless you want serious bad fortune. He wasn't kidding about turning you into a rodent." I looked down at my cheeseburger, which suddenly didn't seem so appetizing. "Why does he need us?" "Maybe it's a problem that requires brains," Annabeth said. "Ares is strength. That's all he has. Even strength has to bow to wisdom sometimes." "But this water park, he acted almost scared. What would make a war god run away like that?" Annabeth and Grover glanced nervously at each other. Annabeth said, "I'm afraid we have to find out." The sun was sinking behind the mountains by the time we found the water park. Judging from the sign, it once had been called Waterland, but now some of the letters were smashed out so it read Watrad. The main gate was padlocked and topped with barbed wire. Inside, huge dry water slides and tubes and pipes curled everywhere, leading to empty pools. Old tickets and advertisements fluttered around the asphalt. With night coming on, the place looked sad and creepy. "If Ares brings his girlfriend here for a date," I said, staring up at the barbed wire, "I'd hate to see what she looks like." "Percy," Annabeth warned, "be more respectful." "Why? I thought you hated Ares." "He's still a god, and his girlfriend is very temperamental." "You don't want to insult her looks," Grover added. "Who is she? Echidna?"
"No, Aphrodite," Grover said, a little dreamily. "Goddess of love."
"I thought she was married to somebody," I said. "Hephaestus." "What's your point?" he asked. "Oh," I suddenly felt the need to change the subject. "So how do we get in?"
"Maya!"
Grover's shoes sprouted wings. He flew over the fence, did an unintended somersault in midair, then stumbled to a landing on the opposite side. He dusted off his jeans as if he'd planned the whole thing. "You guys coming?" Annabeth and I had to climb the old-fashioned way, holding down the barbed wire for each other as we crawled over the top. The shadows grew long as we walked through the park, checking out the attractions. There was Ankle Biter Island, Head Over Wedgie, and Dude, Where's My Swimsuit? No monsters came to get us. Nothing made the slightest noise. We found a souvenir shop that had been left open. Merchandise still lined the shelves. Snow globes, pencils, postcards, and racks of clothes, Annabeth said. Fresh clothes.
Yeah, I said, but you can't just
watch me. She snatched an entire row of stuff off the racks and disappeared into the changing room. A few minutes later, she came out in Waterland flower print shorts, a big red Waterland t-shirt, and commemorative Waterland surf shoes. A Waterland backpack was slung over her shoulder, obviously stuffed with more goodies. "What the heck?" Grover shrugged. Soon, all three of us were decked out like walking advertisements for the defunct theme park. We continued searching for the Tunnel of Love. I got the feeling that the whole park was holding its breath. "So Ares and Aphrodite," I said to keep my mind off the growing dark, "they have a thing going?" "That's old gossip, Percy," Annabeth told me. 3,000-year-old gossip. "What about Aphrodite's husband?"
"Well, you know," she said, "Hephaestus, the blacksmith. He was crippled when he was a baby, thrown off Mount Olympus by Zeus, so he isn't exactly handsome. Clever with his hands and all, but Aphrodite isn't into brains and talent, you know. She likes bikers."
"Whatever. Hephaestus knows?"
"Oh, sure," Annabeth said. "He caught them together once, I mean literally caught them, in a golden net, and invited all the gods to come and laugh at them. Hephaestus is always trying to embarrass them. That's why they meet in out-of-the-way places like... She stopped, looking straight ahead. Like that. In front of us was an empty pool that would have been awesome for skateboarding. It was at least 50 yards across and shaped like a bowl. Around the rim, a dozen bronze statues of Cupid stood guard with wings spread and bows ready to fire. On the opposite side from us, a tunnel opened up, probably where the water flowed into when the pool was full. The sign above it read, "Thrill Ride of Love. This is not your parents' tunnel of love." Grover crept toward the edge. "Guys, look." Marooned at the bottom of the pool was a pink and white two-seater boat with a canopy over the top and little hearts painted all over it. In the left seat, glinting in the fading light, was Ares's shield, a polished circle of bronze. "This is too easy," I said. "So we just walk down there and get it?" Annabeth ran her fingers along the base of the nearest Cupid statue. "There's a Greek letter carved here," she said. "Eta. I wonder..." "Grover," I said, "you smell any monsters?" He sniffed the wind. "Nothing." "Nothing like in the arch and you didn't smell echidna nothing or really nothing?" Grover looked hurt. "I told you, that was underground." "Okay, I'm sorry." I took a deep breath. "I'm going down there." "I'll go with you." Grover didn't sound too enthusiastic, but I got the feeling he was trying to make up for what had happened in St. Louis. "Nah," I told him. "I want you to stay up top with the flying shoes. You're the Red Baron, remember? I'll be counting on you for backup in case something goes wrong." Grover puffed up his chest a little. "Sure, but what could go wrong?" "I don't know, just a feeling. Annabeth, come with me." "Are you kidding?" She looked at me as if I'd just dropped from the moon. Her cheeks were bright red. "What's the problem now?" I demanded. "Me go with you to the thrill ride of love? How embarrassing is that? What if somebody saw me?" "Who's gonna see you?" But my face was burning now, too. Leave it to a girl to make everything complicated. "Fine," I told her. "I'll do it myself." But when I started down the side of the pool, she followed me, muttering about how boys always mess things up. We reached the boat. The shield was propped on one seat, and next to it was a lady's silk scarf. I tried to imagine Ares and Aphrodite here, a couple of gods meeting in a junked-out amusement park ride. Why? Then I noticed something I hadn't seen from up top. Mirrors all the way around the rim of the pool, reflecting right on this spot. We could see ourselves no matter which direction we looked. That must be it. While Ares and Aphrodite were smooching with each other, they could look at their favorite people. Themselves. I picked up the scarf. It shimmered pink. And the perfume was indescribable. Rose. Or mountain laurel. Something good. I smiled. A little dreamy. And was about to rub the scarf against my cheek when Annabeth ripped it out of my hand and stuffed it in her pocket. "Oh, no, you don't. Stay away from that love magic." "What?" "Just get the shield, seaweed brain, and let's get out of here."